Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hello and welcome to a summer league edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. I felt like we just needed summer work, kind of like some of these young guys. Like we're not like these lottery picks that just sit out. Like we need to get some work in.
No, we're the lottery picks. We just actually need the work, you know.
We're like 7-year pros who are just like, yeah. You see it sometimes, right? Those, like, I don't want to call them like washouts, but even like Justin Jackson.
Journeyman. Yeah. Justin Jackson is one of those guys. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, was it like year three?
Yeah, at least. Well, I mean, like, to be honest, Gary Payton II, remember he was like one of the best players on the Warriors League team last year. And he was 28, 29 years old playing. So that's what we are, we'll say. We just got done spending about 5-6 days in Vegas, which I would like to get to some of the stuff we heard and saw out there. But we also just got done watching Warriors Celtics summer league game that generally, I mean, like, there were some interesting flashes from the guys we'll talk about, though they didn't play well, which isn't the greatest sign when you start 3 recent lottery picks, none of them rookies, but, the mix is kind of weird. I mean, they got Mac McClung out there playing and one mixtape tour. He's fun to watch, but he's not exactly setting these guys up.
Wow. Did you call Mac McClung the professor? Wow.
I mean, he got some of that vibe to him. And, you know, Kuminga Wiseman, which, again, is another thing we should probably talk about. But, like, positionally, they're kind of an odd fit. You know, Kuminga's, like, profiles is, like, small ball 4-5 type downhill, kind of wanted to occupy some of the similar spots of Wiseman. It's something they need to figure out. But it's just in a summer league environment doesn't work extremely well without much practice time or spacing. So they're not looking that great as a team, but I think we probably would just prefer to talk about them individually.
I mean, well, the fact that they're not looking great as a team is the surprising part, because we thought you put them 3 on the team, they might run through summer league. But I do think there's a difference between the Knicks, like, NBA players on the roster who, like, played, you know what I'm saying? They got a lot of minutes. They had a role on the team, and the Warriors young guys who they were on the team, but, you know, they probably didn't play as much, didn't play as consistently, and their roles in summer league are so drastically different than what they are on the NBA team, right? Like, Kuminga's basically Steph Curry on this team. Like, the amount of ball handling, the amount of playmaking and creation he's being asked to do, dramatically different from what he's going to do in the NBA and what he did. So I guess we're seeing that just by virtue of having played in the league before doesn't mean you'll dominate summer league. But that was the thinking. You put them 3 together, they should run through it. But, you know, most of tonight and most of the last game, they were getting their hats handed to them.
They were crushing the first half. They came back to win the other, you know, the first game that, you know, Moody didn't play in, but the Kuminga and Wiseman played together.
They were in position to win this one. There were a few big plays from really getting there.
Their fourth quarter was good. That was about it. Yeah. But, you know, who do you want to start with, Kuminga or Wiseman?
Where's the dice? Let me roll the dice. Let's go with Wiseman. I feel like he's important because he's essentially your backup center.
Yeah, he's now played 41 minutes in two games. I think a lot of people tend to forget. I think he played something like, you know, 60 minutes over three G League games. I went to one of them in Stockton. You're just, to me, I guess my main takeaway from the three G League games we saw back in, what was it, like March, before the knee swelled up and he got shut down. And these two, so five games spread over the last 15 months, is you're just seeing the lack of court time he's been able to get because of the knee injury, because he kind of, to me, looks very similar to the player we last saw. And like, you know, the development has been stunted because he hasn't been able to be on the floor. A lot of the same flaws, I think, still exist. You know, he's still a step behind rebounding. He's still very jumpy in the lane. He has had some nice rim protection moments, but you got to remember, he's playing G League guys in March and G League guys essentially, you know, these last couple games. So he's bigger. Maybe there's a bit more timing. There's probably a bit more smarts because he's been able to sit in film rooms and watch Kevon Looney and all that. But he kind of looks like the same player to me, which to me, like, that's understandable, right? I mean, he's rusty and he has barely played basketball over the last 15 months.
Yeah. The first game was just about like, yo, he's back. Right. And oh, look how athletic he looks. Right. Look how big he is. But this game, it was like, okay, the hands are still an issue, right? The rebounding is still an issue. The body, the positioning is still an issue. And he's going to take a while. So for all of the enthusiasm about his return, there still needs to be a huge amount of let this dude kind of develop. Like he's a ways away, right? He's not there. He's going to be at best like a good role player for the Warriors this year. I don't know. I guess it's Cabin Gelly was a problem for James Wiseman, right? Like that, like, that he just looked more polished. He knew where to be. He was great protecting the rim. So I just think, you know, Wiseman just needs the time, man. He needs to put in the time. He needs all the minutes he can. He played 20 tonight. They need to go ahead and just quit playing, take the training wheels off, bump to 30 every time down. Like, what are you preserving him for? I mean, as long as his knee is responding, but he just needs a lot of basketball to catch up his skill set and awareness on the court to his athleticism. But, you know, what was shocking was, like, as physical as he looks, he's not physical. And it's almost like he needs to get stronger, like, no, to hold his spot. Like, I understand, like, he's not in good spots, but when he's in the spot, like, late in the game, they're trying to post him up, which is part of, you know, like, yo, you're down seven, you're dumping the ball in the post. But it was so easy to just get through him and deflect the ball. Like he's got to hold that spot. Like, you know, there was two times where it was him and a guy with the ball. You would think since he's 7'1", 260, like that's not even a contest, but dudes are wrestling the ball from him. So it's weird to say it, but I do think there's a level of strength and awareness development that he needs. And maybe the strength development will help him eliminate some of these where he has the ball in his hand, or he has the spot, or he's in position and he can't hold it because he's getting pushed around a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say, look, the lower body and core probably more than the upper body needs to get stronger. And he hasn't been able, you know, he's done a lot of upper body clearly, but, you know, the knee has been so slow to heal that, you know, I don't think he's been able to do a ton of like legs and
core stuff.
Yeah,
you can see it.
And you saw that his rookie year before the knee issue kind of popped up. But also, you do see it with his fouling sometimes. He's incredibly big and, like, you know, can just whack you. And like, if he comes over and particularly if he's, like, upset or on this particular possession, he's like, I'm getting a defensive rebound. Like, he will crush through you and he'll knock a dude into the stanchion and he'll get called for a foul. But I think sometimes more than the strength, it's just like he's not sensing the guy coming in behind taking the ball away, and it just, you know, it kind of just knocks it out of his hand because he just didn't feel it. I think, you know, you could take a lesson rebounding wise. So, like, to me, so much of what Looney did well this season, where he, by the way, Kevon Looney did not used to be this type of rebounder, but as he has morphed into this over his six, seven seasons in the NBA, It wasn't just reading angles and sensing and jumping to a spot, which why, you know, where Looney's a step ahead, Wiseman's, and I think even a step behind, where like it hits the rim and then there's that split second where you expect, oh, it is going that way. But also just like knowing where all the other 10 bodies are on the court. Like Looney's just always like he'll be getting ready to absorb a guy coming on his like back right side, let's say, and can kind of, you know, calculate that into when he's trying to catch the ball, where I think Wiseman just gets, it'll get knocked away from him because he doesn't know that a hit is coming. I think that a lot of that's just like not playing basketball, but it's, you know, the lack of physicality thing is weird because there are times, again, he has 12 fouls in like 40 minutes. There's been times where you're like, he wants to go get that rebound, he's shoving the guy in the back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, that's overly physical. But then there's the time where he gets the offensive rebound and then he's going to like a 8-foot fadeaway.
Off 1 foot.
Yeah. Go crush that. And there was at least three times today where he had the ball. Sometimes it was off a pass about 8 feet out and he's going to like the push shot or, you know, something in the lane. And like, he does have a nice touch. We've seen the jumper. He should be able to be a stretch five when he really like, you know, develops into the player he's going to be. But there, especially on this Warriors team with what they need interior wise from him, he just needs to take the approach of like, go crush a dunk when you're 8 feet away. Don't go to the floater.
And that's the difficulty of him and Wiseman. I mean, Kuminga playing together because they need the same thing from Kuminga, right? Yeah. They need him. They need him operating free throw line and below, and they both kind of be there. But I do think Wiseman can step out there. You know, obviously he's got a nice jumper. So it's kind of, it's a tough spot. Like, he's a great pick and pop candidate. He's a guy who could step to the corner. You figure he'll be able to hit some open threes. But where you need him to be is finishing. I do think the one area, and you kind of, like you said, you see him bowling over people where he can, and you know, where he can like really have an impact on the season. It's just deciding like, I'm about to go get the rock. I'm about to kill the rebound. I'm gonna get put back dunks. I'm getting tip ins. I'm eating off the scraps. And that's essentially what Looney did. You know, that's how Looney became so valuable, getting the extra possessions. And we saw Wiggins do it. We've seen Looney do it. Moses Moody is pretty good at it. I feel like that's where Wiseman can really make an impact. I mean, the difficulty of all this is you can see how good he can be. Like, it's right there. Like, you can watch it and see. It's not like you're asking somebody to do something that it's not even possible. So that's what makes it a little bit like, I don't know, like, you know, difficult, but also promising. It's like you can see what he'll be when he gets there. Cause right now he can still be pretty productive, especially if he's playing smarter and taking better shots at this stage. But just some of the weaknesses, like, I don't see how you get those soon. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. I don't see how you get those soon.
That is why it's like, you know, you watch a game like this and you go, man, do those two lost years like hurt in this growth curve that, you know, we do think he's going to have. Let's say he plays 70 games the next two seasons. Think about going into his fifth season, the type of player he could be if he gets that type of, you know, I guess just usage. And particularly, you know, and it's, you go back and like, you know, you wonder if this was the best situation for him to get drafted into, because even next season, like, you know, 70 games from him still might only be 18 minutes a game or something like this in a very simplified role, where he does seem like a guy that might need to explore the studio space. But you also just like, man, that could have, like, if this was him going into a normal third season compared to what basically feels like he's going into his rookie season again, that's almost kind of the issue. But the one thing I will say is, I remember from his rookie season, if he could string together like 8, 9, 10 straight games, he was always kind of, it felt like he took a little bit of a step. And I remember even right before the game that he tore the meniscus on the alley-oop attempt, it was like maybe his 8th, 9th straight game. Remember, because there was all these stop and goes. There was the wrist sprain He was starting at a rhythm. There was the COVID issues. I remember when he got thrown into quarantine when you know contact tracing, there was always these stop and goes. And I did feel like when the times that he did get 8, 9, 10 straight games, he would be like, okay, he's starting to figure some things out, he's starting to get in a rhythm. So he's gonna need that. But the problem is, what is he gonna get, two three more summer, I think only two more summer league games total, get some camp. Preseason will be big.
I think camp will help. I think camp will help a lot. Like, it's just too, I mean, they're still doing 2 days, right? Like,
yeah,
he needs that hardcore work.
They play a lot of pickup ball in the in like September.
Before,
like
the September camp. Before. Yep. That's like Warriors tradition. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll bring in, like, last year they brought in like Darren Collison and, you know, Avery Bradley. Remember, they're trying to, like, you know, figure out who might be competing for Langston Galloway. He needs to be able to be unrestricted in those environments. You know what I mean? Like, they can't. It would be really bad for him if they leave Summer League and it's like, all right, James, now you got to, like, ease it back for a couple months. Like,
we'll see this you needs in October. Yeah.
This needs to be the starting line of a pretty unrestricted summer. If he's,
you
want to
see the tape of him and then pick up games across the summer. You want to see him, some of the footage.
Yeah.
with Hoodie Mello and them. Mm-hmm. I do think they need to get him some time and, I hope he's giving himself time. You see him storm off after the game?
Yeah.
He just bolted.
Yeah, he was really mad at himself late or the situation, whatever, when he got that rebounding foul on one end. There was another foul on the other end. But look, I mean, the guy really, not only does he really want to this process to be sped up, but he, like, really has wanted to play more than they've allowed him to.
Oh, yeah. No question.
You know,
no question.
This isn't a guy who's been, like, you know, very
I'm wanted chilling. To like let me know when you're ready for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Accept his fate or, like, you know, he's really like he'll want to play pickup in the summer. He wants to get this going. So we'll see. I mean, look, I don't want to judge much off 41 minutes in the summer league when he's as rusty as you can possibly be basically as an NBA player considering a situation, but final takeaway or like overall takeaways, just like kind of looks
it
like
was a reminder. Play. It was a reminder of where we were when he left. Right. It was like, oh, okay. He's right where he was when he left. The big thing is getting him back, but the same kind of work needs to be done, but that begins with staying healthy. Like that's none of it matters if he doesn't stay healthy. To me, it's just about him playing and playing a lot and figuring it out. I'm not taking anything from Summer League for him. Just play.
I agree, because to me, what he does well is like any of the individual work he's been able to do over the last couple years. I'm sure it's been great. It's been great to work with Dejan and like do, you know, different like soft touch stuff around the rim. But the stuff that gives him trouble is when there's other bodies, opposing bodies out there bashing into him from different angles that he can see and can't see. That's when, you know, the pictures, you know, what does Kerr always talk about? Like the pictures, they see the pictures once you play. He's just it's moving very fast. All right, let's move on to Kuminga. Kind of an odd 3-game summer league from him. He called the first game he had maybe the worst game of his life, 2-10, like 6 turnovers. Was like in some ways like the most destructive player on the floor in that loss they had. The same night Moody had 34, came back and, you know, better approach in the second game, was getting downhill a bunch. I think he shot like 17 free throws, something like that in the second game. Ended up finishing up in like the 28-point range. Similar tonight, you know, looking for the jumper too much probably. But when he needed
to turn, he's wide open, right? Like
it was open. Tough. But when he needed to turn it on, like, you know, you can see that mental approach go, and like suddenly he's picking up. He like started playing like regular season type defense, and he can be a defensive force when he does that. Started getting to the rim a bunch, hitting the jumper. You know, the jumper's like he probably likes it more than the Warriors probably like it,
but it's not bad.
Mid-range tonight,
it's not bad.
Yeah,
it's just I think he's just better off the dribble. I think he's better when his feet are not set, weirdly enough. You know what I'm saying? When he can get the I mean, he's such a great athlete, so explosive. I think he likes to be in the air shooting, you know, whether it's the pull up, the lean, a little bit of fade or his feet out. I think he just gets a better feel for the shot when he takes a moment in the air to reset. Like, but his mid range looks really good, man. I think he should pull it out more. Like JJ Redick pointed out in the pod, he drives and he spins, right? And it's not like Giannis where that spin. If you don't shut that, like, first off, when he spins and you're there, he's probably bowling through you. Well, but he's taking off after that spin and yamming it. You know what I'm saying?
He might be Giannis year two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway. So to me, though, instead of that spin, like by the time he spins, he's already at a spot where I think he could just pull up and take it and just shoot over the dude because he jumps so high and he's so athletic. Just pull up, strong 2 foot, explode because he's got a nice mid range, man. It's actually pretty good. It's the feet set, wide open three ball that he's having a hard time with, and that's the shot they're giving him. But on my only issues with him this game was the rebounding. Like, he just spending too much time on the perimeter, and I think in preparation for the season he needs to have with the Warriors, it's got to be inside. It's got to be free throw line and below. Like, that's where he's going to live. He's not going to be out there pushing Jordan Poole, you know, down to the down below the free throw line or pushing Clay. He's going to be the one down there. So the rebounder shows me he spent a lot of time working from the perimeter instead of inside, because he actually will get in there and crash if he's down there. But if he's standing out around the 3-point line, he's not down there, and that's not where he's going to be. It's just not gonna where he's going to be with the Warriors.
Yeah, one obvious issue he's had, because, like, he's going to take so many free throws in his career. Did, you know, his free throws were 36, were good this season. He has, in three games, taken 30 free throws, which is great, but he's made 12, you know. And I talked to somebody who said they see maybe he's a little flat-footed on the
free throws.
He was 5-for-8 tonight. I will say that was, you know, an improvement, obviously, but he was 7-22.
An improvement to 62%, right?
Well, he was 7-22 in the first two games.
That was rough, yeah.
And he's 3-of-18 from three. And I don't worry as much, like, the three, actually. Like, he was, like, something like that in his first, you know, 5 or 6 NBA games. He, like, was basically, like, 1-of-15, something like that from three. But then there, for about a two-month period, like, in the NBA as more of a catch-and-shoot guy when he started to play a role, he was like a 36, 37, 38% three-point shooter for a while. So, like, he's shown he's capable.
He's streaky,
but also, like, you know, in a more NBA environment, like the off-the-dribble threes, like, you know, the Warriors aren't going to be having him take too many of that. Or even, like, you see the one tonight where he had an open three and then he went, like, dribbled between his legs three times, took, like, the 21-footer with his foot on the line. It was like, oh, gosh, that can't be a regular season shot right there.
I mean, is part of you like, yo, man, get it in, man. Get your chance to be the man in right now. Take all those shots.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Regardless of, like, you know, some of the sharper decision making that we're talking about, and, like, the fact that he did turn it on late today, his approach games two and particularly tonight, I thought, has been much improved from game one. I mean, we were both there for the first couple games, but particularly the first game, he was pouting the whole game, clearly, like, didn't really want to be there. That led to, like, you know, really kind of, in some ways, I think he was a little embarrassed by the performance. Maybe that's why he's turned it on a little bit, but you wondered where mentally it might be going after that first game, and if, like, was there a chance they'd, like, kind of shut him down? But not, you know, I think he's taken a better professional approach to the last couple games. That's what I'd say.
Oh, no question. I thought he was really solid the last game. Not you know, the one tonight, but the second game, the one they won. He battled through early struggles. Like, you know, to me, there's a part of, like, there's the Kuminga that's trying to win, and then there's a Kuminga that's trying to go for his. And I think
that's trying to, like, that's be trying to win. 27-year-old two-way all-star win.
Yeah. It's tonight, and I think the previous game, he switched to, yo, let's win this game. And you could always tell defense and how he's running the floor, right? And even tonight, like, you know, he's, like, waving off Mac McClung, like, yo, give me the rock. I'm going downhill, and I'm getting to the rim. And he didn't get a couple of calls, but it was the right mindset. Like, when he's decides, yo, let's win the game, like, he can actually be pretty effective. But I think you're right. I think all of this whole Kuminga experience, to me, can be centered around this idea that this dude believes he's probably the best young player in the league. Right? So it's like you're watching other players get notoriety, get attention, get opportunity. And, you know, he's walked into a Warriors situation where that's limited. So I do think it's worked in the Warriors' advantage this time, because you can't be out here looking like he looked game one of Summer League, you know what I'm saying, and still thinking, yo, I should be out here, right? I should be the guy. You can't be out here getting cooked and looking bad against Summer League, dude. So I think there's a part of him is like, all right, let me show that I'm the guy I say I am. And the way to do that is to defend, is to play under control, is to kind of pick apart the defense. To me, I feel like the thing that kind of works against them is actually working for him right now. And maybe that's a lesson he takes into training camp, where it's like, I'm sure, you know, they've been telling him, like, here's how you do it, right? This is it. You rebound, you run the floor, you slash, you cut, you finish, you defend, you get out in transition. Like, this is what they've been telling him. He can get it. Just figure, if he want to average 18 points, he can get 9 of them off garbage, like off offensive rebounds, off drawing fouls, off little stuff that's easy for him. And then, you know, get another 9 off hitting the open shot, off taking a tough shot at the end of the shot clock, all that. But he can get 9 to 12 points every game just doing the little stuff that he was doing tonight and that he's been doing the last 2 games. Just playing hard and going for it. Like, to me, that's 12 points right there. What Jordan Poole averaged this year? That's about to get him paid. Like, yeah. 18? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, Jordan Poole did it in a way where you're like, you know, you give him a lead guard spot, and he, particularly late, like the efficiency of Jordan Poole is like a primary playmaker. But
if you average 15 in the NBA as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, you're doing something pretty good.
Yeah.
But he can get 9 off just being a hustling super athlete. Yeah. Like, he's got that in him.
2 things. Number one, I just think with, like, you know, I do think it was a little tough for him coming into Summer League, because not only what you said of, like, you know, looking at some of the other players in his draft class, which I think he believes, you know, I'm better than it. I just wasn't put in the same situation that Jalen Green was in. I couldn't just, you know, take all the shots I wanted for 2 months to start the season for a, whatever, 22 win team, and then get better in the second half because I'd logged that many minutes and that many ball creation opportunities. But also, like, you know, think about if you're a Jalen Green or you're a Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey was shut down in, like, February. Jalen Green was done in April 15th. Like, Kuminga and Moody, while it was probably incredibly informative for them to watch the Warriors playoff run, be it, like, you know, on the inside, and at times for Moody in the West Finals, Kuminga starting in the second round, like, get some brief opportunities. That's a lot of work that took the, you know, I mean, we're dealing with it too, right?
Like, oh, yeah. Forget the games, right? It's the practices, it's the meetings, it's all that. Yeah, they've been at it.
They're showing up. Yeah. Like, when they played a home playoff game, they're the first players at the arena because they're the ones that have to practice before the veterans come out. So they're at these arenas on these game nights at, like, 4 p.m. with, like, a 7 p.m. tip, and, like, then spend the entire night and have 95 people coming up to them during the game saying, like, you see how, you know, Looney did that. You see how, what, you know, Draymond did that. Like, that is just so much overload for a young guy from a work perspective. Then they got this brief, and it was a very brief vacation from it, right? Draft week, free agency before. You know, Kuminga had to rush back from the Congo to play in Summer League. And I do understand, like, somewhat of a, dude, like, I'm already back to work. I'm already responsible for doing this. That's number one. Number two, you mentioned the way that he has to score, and, or, like, you know, particularly for this Warriors team, right? Like, you know, dive, pick and roll diving, which he did a couple times tonight. He even got a nice pass from Wiseman, by the way. That was a nice moment for Wiseman. But, and in transition, right? and offensive rebound buckets. The problem, emerging problem, is that's how Wiseman needs to score too.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of an overlap with the Warriors' 2 most important prospects and the stages of their career they're at, and what they need to do to help next season's team.
Oh,
win.
I don't think it's just them. Like, that's how Moody scores.
Moody could catch and shoot stationary. Yeah. Like, Moody, in my opinion, we can get to him, but he can kind of fit in where he needs to. The overlap I would be concerned about is Kuminga Wiseman, positionally too.
No question, especially if you put them together in the second unit, right? I mean, obviously, you got JP running that second unit, presumably. But yeah, like, that's going to be tough. I mean, they could do the whole clear out of side, 2-man game with him. But if they're occupying the same space, to me, that's going to be tough. And the difficult part is, I think Wiseman can play high posts. He's got the jumper for it. Like, he can pull the defense from the basket to give Kuminga some space. But do you want Wiseman doing that? Like, you know what I'm saying? The thing is, you want him finishing at the rim, being aggressive, being physical, going hard, and not necessarily just living on elbow jumpers.
You want to tell him he's, you know, Nemanja Bjelica or Kelly Olynyk or something, you know? You don't want him to just create early in his career that you're just like a stretch five and that's your
It's like value you can do that, but that's not really where they need him to live. So,
and that's not how you want him to develop either.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so that's the difficult part. And maybe, you know, maybe that means you don't give them a lot of run together.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a, you put Kuminga with one of them with, in the Otto Porter, you're going to play with the starters role, right? Like, you come in for Draymond, that you get a lot of minutes that way. Or maybe it's you come in for Looney, Wiseman, and you got a little minutes that way. And then one of them gets predominantly with the second unit. But we talked about this before. Remember, you were talking about it. Who's got the who do you want with Jordan Poole is probably the bigger
Wiseman.
Question. Wiseman, right? So
what about like, you know, again, now we're getting deep in the weeds of like next season's rotations. We need Cal Kaliyan for this. But yeah,
like on vacation,
maybe,
by the way.
Maybe you sub Looney out for Kuminga, you know, mid first, and he plays like more small ball environment with Draymond, which, you know, could work. And then it's Wiseman top of the second quarter with Poole running pick and roll.
Yeah.
And you're closing with Looney and that unit. And by the way, you know, I know Looney just played 82 games last season, but a lot of these veterans are going to miss games. You know, there's going to be days where Klay Thompson's not playing a back-to-back. Moses Moody's suddenly starting at the two. And, you know, Wiggins maybe gets some more games off. Draymond certainly is not going to go 82 games next season. So there will be a ton of developmental opportunities. They just need to, particularly Wiseman just needs to stay healthy. He just needs to be available for those opportunities.
If you want Wiseman with Poole, then that means you love Wiseman. With Steph this time around, would it be?
No. I mean, you could make the argument you start him again, start him, keep Looney. I mean, you know, Looney will take
that. He's one of the rare dudes who's not good with Steph on the court. Like, so, but maybe with a different kind of focus, he can be. But for the same reasons you'd want Wiseman with Jordan Poole, it makes sense to put him with Steph, and that gives Kuminga a little bit more freedom in the second unit. And also, at this point, it's probably fair to say that Kuminga should get more minutes. Right, like you pencil in more opportunity for him, and be more cautious with Wiseman. So, yeah, that's gonna be a thing. And like I was saying about Moody, since we're probably gonna get to him, like Moody can play another way, but his effectiveness is that he does do all this stuff. He slashes, he gets the offensive rebounds, he's hustling for loose balls. Right, he values the things that they need to value. So, I mean, it's probably will be ideal for a Warriors assistant coach who's preaching this stuff, but three guys slashing to the rim at the same time, it's probably they probably want that, you know, from the guys, and just probably won't have them on the court at the same time.
True, but Moody is pretty
He's got
flexible.
More wiggle in his handle too. Yeah,
Moody can. I don't think there's like a lineup combination that you're like, I don't like Moody in that lineup combination. You know, he could kind of go 2-3. They'd played him at times at the three last year. And like, you know, not that you would ever have him a small ball four, but he could be kind of, you know, considered.
I'm just saying if they're on the court and there's a guy who's not paying attention to the back door, who's most likely to take it?
Who's most likely to see it? Moody.
Moody.
Are they going to tell stand on the wing because you're a 39% catch and shoot, 3-point shooter, and like you need to spread the floor for the other guys? That's Moody.
Moody's like, hold on, man. Back door, I got this. Buckets.
No, you're running into four defenders because it's Wiseman sitting there. Anyway, yeah, Moody, you know, the 34-point game like just showed so much of what he can be, because it wasn't your traditional 34-point summer league game where it's just like ball
somebody
control.
Gets hot. Yeah.
Yeah, high usage. It was like, first of all, he goes to the rim like really aggressively. You saw it late tonight. He almost like face planted.
Too aggressively. He's trying to dunk on the whole Celtics. It was like, what are you doing, dude? Relax.
He's getting a lot of free throws, just like, you know, going to the rim that way. Rebound putbacks. He hit a little 14-foot, you know, pullback. You mentioned the slashing. The shot looks great, right? Anytime he's pulling up for an open three, although didn't he airball at least one tonight? But, you know, generally,
the last one, I think.
If he's pulling up for an open three, I mean, even if it's in the West Finals, which we saw, like, you think that there's a decent chance that's going in. But, you know, I thought you did see tonight kind of like what the limitations, like, if you are of the belief, like, watch out, Moses Moody has a higher ceiling as like a, you know, potential like all-star, if anybody thinks that. I think you saw the limitations of that tonight. Just, he doesn't have the explosiveness to the rim. He struggled to finish against size. He was 6-19 shooting tonight. And it's like, you know, anyone arguing, like, you know, there's kind of a cap on what he can be, even if that's a fantastic role player, there does kind of seem to be that cap, which is fine. I mean, that's a great pick at 14.
You ain't telling Moody that, though, are you?
No, I'm just, you know, overreacting like, to summer league games.
I'm about to get this bucket. I think his, I don't know. I think in his mind, he's a little bit more athletic than he is. But I do think the versatility of how he could get his will make him like super valuable. He doesn't have the high ceiling like Kuminga, but man, like those steady kind of regular providers, like you might get hot. Or if he became a 40% 3-point shooter consistently, right? And man, he's already a pretty good free throw shooter. Like he's one of them dudes who could easily start averaging 15 to 18 points in the NBA. And maybe get hot one year and drop a 20-something and end up an all-star starter with the boost of a K-pop guy.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Moody year 7 could be really good. It's like, I agree.
By
like,
the way,
all-star, but, you know.
Moody year 2 to me, like, if you were to ask me today which of those three, like, closes more games next season.
Moody.
I'd probably take Moody of the three. Because I just think he does a lot more of the stuff that Steve Kerr, when it comes to winning time, is going to want on the floor with the mix of, you know, his stars. I think Moody just fits much more seamlessly next to his main guys. And we saw that in the West Finals, you know. You could have Gary Payton II is out, which, by the way, he's departed now. He's out in the West Finals. It wasn't Kuminga that was suddenly getting the minutes. It was Moody.
I think one of the things that makes that so – is I think he was a much better, he ends up being a much better passer than maybe we thought. Like, he's a sneakily good passer. Like, he's really good at finding cracks in the defense. And that, if you can pass and defend, like, you're probably going to be a winning player. And the Warriors really value that stuff. So his ability to be that, to me, makes him the obvious choice down the stretch of games.
Also, he's like, loves the strategic side of the game. Not that like Wiseman and Kuminga don't, but like, you know, you said, I had that conversation I put out with Moody last week down in Vegas, talked to him, and he's like talking like in depth about trapping the box and like different, you know, like minutia and details within the game that he's trying to get better. And you just like, he just has a very veteran approach that is rare for his age. And
he's old. He's really like 35.
I know. He's got 35-year-old vibes for sure. Looney vibes in some ways, right? I mean, it's what Looney always was at that age. And guess what? Coaches love Kevon Looney. And coaches love
people who know. I mean, a big part of it, I think the difference, the advantage Moody has is, to a degree, he understands his limitations better than Kuminga at this point in their careers, right? Like, he's getting a little, like, he's trying to dunk on people a little bit too much for my liking. But generally speaking, and, you know, he's also in summer league, right? So he is better than these guys. But Moody understands who he is better at this point. Like, not who he's going to be, not what his potential is, but, like, who he is right now and what he can do on the court and what he should be doing on the court. Moody understands that better than Kuminga. And the more Kuminga gets to that, the better off he'll be. But Moody just has it, right? And that's
Moody played high school basketball with Scottie Barnes and Cade Cunningham on the same team.
And he moved by himself from Little Rock to California to play too, as well.
Florida, right?
No, Florida. Yeah, I'm thinking Bronny. My bad.
Yeah, Mount Vernon, Florida.
Mount Vernon. He moved by himself. Like, his parents didn't go with him. He was so mature that they were like, "Yo, man, you got this, go." And he just moved. Now, The reason I
be a role player in some ways.
Absolutely. No, be like, what was he, sixth man, seventh man?
He was a role player in high school on like this unbelievable team. Like, you know, you if you're playing with Scottie Barnes and Kate Cunningham, you need to learn how to play off the ball. That's the other thing. You know, you talk to him like, what are you working on? I mentioned like off the dribble threes, like just to see what he'd say. He'd be like, no, more like coming off pin downs and like catch and shoot, the stuff I'm gonna do next season. And like that's a advanced approach.
By the same token, that's why I think Kuminga will figure it out. I mean, the dude was 13 and left the Congo to come to America by himself. I'm banking on dudes like that. But yes. I think another guy.
But you know what he's been told his whole life, understandably? You are a future NBA superstar. Yeah,
you're
play
you're
like
star.
One.
You're so a star. Yeah. Go
it's
go.
It's a lot
and get
longer
it.
To develop into that than to develop into Trevor Ariza.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the other guy we gotta talk about is a guy who might possibly get a roster spot. What did you think of Quindary?
So, you know, he's big body. He can defend a little bit. He gets an open three, can hit it. He can kind of go get his at times. You know, he's obviously out there on the court with a bunch of guys that are above him in the organizational pecking order, where Moody's going to get more touches and, I guess, responsibility. Kuminga is Wiseman. Like, when Wiseman's on the floor, so much of the orbit of the floor kind of tilts to Wiseman. So Quindary's got to kind of fit in where he can get in, where you're, so you're not really seeing the 20-point-per-game score that he was at Santa Cruz a lot this year. So that, plus the other thing I'd say as far as, like, roster spot, like, it's a possibility he could slip on 014, man, but, you know, the two-way contract situation is very restrictive, and he's a restricted free agent where if another team does not offer him a roster spot contract, then the Warriors like kind of can retain him on a two-way. And I think at this point, the Warriors would like him to come back on a two-way, where
oh, yeah.
I think there's even teams out there that go, okay, we'll give you a minimum deal. Well, the Warriors can just match that, and then he's a minimum on their roster. So I think that in some ways deters other teams from coming in and offering him a minimum if they believe the Warriors are just going to keep him.
Keep him, yeah.
So then he sits there kind of, fortunately for them, not for the player, which stinks for the player side. I think he's likely to be on a two-way.
Well, that depends on how do you think they feel about Mac McClung, baby.
I think they needed guard play. I actually know this. Yes, I've heard they needed
they
guard
do.
Play when
they
Ryan
need
Rollins.
Ball handlers.
Well, Ryan Rollins, they thought was going to be their summer league guard. Like Ryan Rollins would have been the starter tonight at the point guard.
Oh yeah,
but they found the fracture, so he can't play. They needed a guard. They've gone with McClung, which, you know, makes sense. You know, you probably want him to be a little bit more, you know, feeding others than he is.
Oh, you saying 4 for 13? You don't like that?
Yeah, basically. You know. Is that what he was?
Yeah, I think he was 4 for 13.
I think it's unlikely Mac McClung is.
Oh, really?
With the Warriors. But, you know, like he might show enough to get a two-way somewhere else.
I wonder if he gets. I'm wondering if he gets an invite to training camp. That's what I'm wondering.
I'm not sure he, you know.
Step. I don't know if he will. He might take an offer, an invite to a team with more probability he'll make the spot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is welcome to the life of like the back ends of these rosters. I mean, so much of it is about paths and, you know, agent relationships and belief of, you know, if you can really like, what is your future within the organization? But before we get out of here, anything else from just from our time in Vegas, man, we were down there.
By the way, Gui Santos, 12-8. That's all I'm saying. He was
he had
plus
a
six
nice
he was on
drive
the
to the rim.
He and Peyton Willis were the only players who were plus. Everybody else was negative. Gui Santos, a winner, baby.
I like Gui Santos as a drafting stash, particularly if that stash is in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, no question. Vegas was too hot.
Yes.
It was wild. It was wildly hot. Draymond showed up. Hey, can we talk about the workout? Has that been made public?
Which one? The Draymond DeMarcus Cousins workout?
Yeah. It brings into question what are the Warriors going to do with the final spot? You know,
my understanding is it's still probable that there's a veteran or two on the way.
Yeah.
There's
somewhere there has to be there at 12. They've got to do something.
Yeah, they're at 12 even when you add Rollins. Right. He must figure out the Andre Iguodala situation, which isn't, I mean, it's not must figure out. Like, Andre Iguodala needs to give them an answer. My understanding is, like, that could come a day before training camp. Like, they're kind of have, at this point, it seems an open veteran minimum offer awaiting him if he wants it. They'd like to know as soon as possible, but they're not requiring him to tell them as soon as possible. So he's kind of, you know, you got to ticket him somewhat in the plans. A veteran, oh man, a veteran or two on the vet minimum is, you know, going to happen. But you could see it, like, across the league, like, this Durant Ayton situation has just gridlocked the league. And there's, like, a signing a day, basically. So a lot of these vet minimum guys, I think, are waiting for stuff to play out.
The big splash to happen.
Open up, yeah. Whatever.
I mean, because that's what usually happens, right? Somebody, big move happens, and, you know, you kind of get the scraps afterwards. But, you know, from when I'm talking to people, they're perfectly fine waiting. Well, they might not just, you know, normally they'll be done mid-July, but this might go into August. Like, they're okay. They're probably picking up the scraps too, right? Who falls by the wayside? Who ends up getting bought out? Like, all those things are in play. But I still think it was interesting that, you know, Draymond and Boogie together in Vegas. I think Boogie lives in Vegas, right?
He does. Yeah. And they're friendly. We know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Warriors have a pristine facility, like
their own facility
outside of Vegas that is, like, you know, you got chefs cooking meals and making smoothies. There's a huge weight room. And, you know, Cousins, like, played a year with the Warriors.
Courts? There's a lot of courts in there, too. Pretty big.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5, whatever, however many courts. Like, it's just, like, a great place, you know, to get a workout in. And he worked out with DeMarcus, but I think we both are of the belief that,
I'm just saying, they need a stretch big who can rebound and who can hit some open shots.
And their belief is that is James Wiseman, or it better be. You know, I don't think they're going to block James Wiseman's path to playing time with DeMarcus Cousins. Just seems unlikely, I'll say that.
I mean, they got to get a veteran big. You don't think he's down to be the third center with the Warriors?
He might be. But, you know, how would he handle it if James Wiseman's ahead of him? Questions you must ask.
I know, right? Yeah, just think about it. I did learn Jadori chicken in Vegas.
What did you learn about it?
It's supposed to be like some high-end chicken. The dude was telling me, what was the name of that place we went to? I keep messing it up.
Lupo?
Lupo, yeah. He said it was the Wagyu of chicken.
Okay, then.
It was pretty good, though. It was good. You were having plate envy. You wanted some of my chicken.
I agree. I wish I got that.
So that's a big revelation. Now I'm in the Bay looking for Jadori chicken. They might be gassed. I might just got played by some Vegas, like, marketing scam, but
it happens.
I'm all in.
You're just buying it to your house right now.
You know what I'm saying? I'm about to find me some, get it in, and then I'm going to destroy it by trying to cook it because I don't know what I'm doing.
You ain't lying. All right. We will talk to you. Oh, the other thing in Vegas, like, you know, Dante DiVincenzo did an interview. I'm probably going to write, like, a summer league, like, a little notebook type thing that'll be out by the morning. I'll put some of his quotes in there. He's a good quote. It's a good addition from a
It's only a good quote because of you two's collective Sacramento affinity. That's what it was.
I mean, I'm not sure he has much of an affinity for Sacramento after
not the Kings, but
his last 3 months or so. But yeah, we will talk to you, I don't know, next time.
Whenever we talk to you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you when we talk to you.